Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which you meditate this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the closing verses of our epistle lesson from this morning, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our righteousness and salvation, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. We are faced with many difficult decisions in life, and making the wrong choice can result in tragedy. In some cases, there's no safe choice. It's one or the other, not both. We have to decide who will be first in our lives, God or material possessions. While the world around us invites us to be earthly-minded, he who dies with the most toys wins. The Lord Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We may have to decide whether to side with Christ or with family. When family and friends turn from Christ and his word, we are not to condone it, justify it, or follow them. For Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We will also have to decide whether we trust in Christ's life and death or place our hopes in our own goodness. When we must stand before the judge, we cannot be declared righteous on the basis of Christ's life and our own. It's one or the other. For those who think that they can be good enough to stand before God on their own, Christ died in vain, for nothing. They turned Jesus living and dying from salvation into a travesty of justice and a tragedy of mammoth proportions. For as Paul put it, if righteousness comes through the law, then Jesus' death was a useless tragedy. If righteousness comes through the law, then prophets, angels, and apostles all lied. If righteousness comes through the law, then you are your own Savior. May God the Holy Spirit guide us and open our understanding that we may learn and grow from these words. To that end we pray. Lord of hosts, you are the refuge of every sinner and the strength of all who trust in you. We praise you for having called us to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have made known to us the worthlessness of our own good deeds and the perfect life of Christ. You have directed our faith away from the commandments of men and caused us to rest our hopes on the promises of God in Christ. You have revealed the beauty of your grace, which rescued us from condemnation and assures us of salvation in Christ. Grant that we may receive your forgiveness with thanksgiving. Use us as your witnesses to bring the message of pardon in Christ to people everywhere. Open our eyes to a better understanding of your word and a deeper appreciation of your love. Grant that we continue in that word and live according to it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear us for the sake of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It's a mistake that many make. And there was a time when the Apostle Peter himself tried to play both sides. It happened in Antioch, and it was referred to in our epistle lesson this morning. When Peter was alone in Antioch, he reflected the unconditional love of Jesus by eating and drinking with the Gentiles, with those who were not by birth and nature Jews. He ate with them, he ate what they ate, he treated them as equals because they had been cleansed of sin by the blood of Jesus. They were no different than he was. He expressed the attitude of Paul, who would later write to the Galatians, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Unfortunately, that all changed when certain Jews from Jerusalem came to Antioch. Peter was afraid of what they would think, what they would say, if he was eating with Gentiles. And so he stopped treating them as equals, as fellow Christians. He took the low road. It was the Jewish way, after all, to treat the Gentiles as outsiders, as unclean, as unfit, because they were uncircumcised and because they did not observe the civil and the ceremonial laws given to the Jews. And as you heard, even Barnabas was carried away in his hypocrisy. It wasn't just that Peter wouldn't eat with them. It was that he left the impression that the Gentiles could not be accepted by God unless they became as the Jews and obeyed every regulation given to the Jews through Moses. The Apostle Paul opposed Peter. He pointed out that it can't be both ways. It's one or the other. Either we are right with God by faith in Christ, or by obedience to all of God's laws. Let me put it a different way, one that's perhaps easier to be digested today. Either you think you are right with God and will go to heaven because of what you have done, or because of what Christ has done. Either it's Christ's righteousness or your own. In the scripture before us this morning, the Apostle Paul offers his choice, or rather, God's choice for him. Paul didn't decide to believe in Jesus, after all. Paul decided to persecute Jesus and all those who claimed to believe in him. Paul decided to go to Damascus to arrest and detain all of those who were of the way. Paul chose to terrorize Christians. Paul didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose Paul. And then everything changed. Paul learned that everything that he had thought before as a Pharisee was wrong. He had thought that if he was a good person outwardly, that God would accept it and accept him. But he learned in Christ that all of those efforts were a sham and a lie. And instead, he came to trust in what we call Jesus' active and his passive obedience. Paul, instead of trusting that he was righteous by his own actions, came to believe that he was righteous before God because Jesus' perfect life, his keeping of the commandments, was credited to his account by faith. That his sins were cleansed because Jesus laid down his life to make atonement for those sins. He would later write to the Galatians, "When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So Jesus, both his living and his dying, became the focus of Paul's life and his hope for heaven. And he expressed it simply like this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This was the simple message that Paul had for the Galatian Christians. Because they were being told that they themselves needed to be obedient to certain rules and regulations, that they had to observe the Sabbath, that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. They were being told essentially that Jesus' death on the cross was not enough, but that they had to add to it their own, let's use the big word, righteousness. This is the same message that a young Martin Luther was taught as a child. He was taught that he had to make up for his sins by certain acts of restitution. Jesus' death wasn't enough, they told him, to atone for his sins. He needed to offer his own good works. And so Martin Luther became stuck between a rock and a hard place, because when he looked into his heart, he saw his sins. His conscience revealed his guilt. And he despaired of ever reaching heaven. But then he came to learn the truth about how one is righteous before God. Not by one's own actions, but by faith in the one who was righteous through his righteousness credited by faith. You see, it can't be both ways. Either Jesus has made atonement, either it is finished, like he said, or it isn't. The Apostle Paul, Martin Luther, and countless other Christians have learned to despair of themselves as a result, and to trust in Christ. Consider that answer given by Paul, the reason why he refused to let go of Jesus and hope instead in his own goodness. He said, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Did you hear that? Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, if righteousness comes by the law, if we can be perfect, if we can be accepted by God by keeping the Ten Commandments, then Jesus died for nothing. Or let me say it a little different. If you can be right with God by your own perfect life, then Jesus died for nothing. Why would God send his Son into this world to live under the law as your substitute if you could do it on your own? Why would God allow his Son to suffer and die for sins if you could make up for them on your own? If we could be righteous by the law, then Jesus' life was a charade and his death was a useless waste. Let me put it like this. Why send someone to dive in the pool to rescue Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps if he can swim to safety all on his own? If you can live a holy life, if you could be good enough, then Jesus' life was unnecessary. You can't have it both ways. We are either righteous because we have lived holy lives, which we haven't, or because Jesus' life is credited to us by faith. But there's more to this. If we can be righteous through the law, then God himself, his prophets, angels, and the apostles all lied. Because that's what they all said. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God promised to send a Savior whom he called the seed of the woman. Why send a Savior if you can save yourself? The psalmist David, seeing his sins, prayed that God would deliver him by providing the righteousness he needed to stand. Why pray in that way if David could be righteous by his actions? The prophet Isaiah promised that God would lay our sins on His servant, and that He would bear them, enabling us to be justified or declared not guilty. Why say such a thing if we could make up for our sins? The angel sent by God at Jesus' birth called Him the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why send a Savior if we can save ourselves? If we can be righteous by the law, then the Apostle Paul himself lied, because he declared, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, apart from, without, the deeds of the law." And there's one more thing. If righteousness comes to the law, then you are your own Savior. Either we live by God's law and hope to enter heaven by our life, or by faith in Christ. So let's fast forward to the day of judgment. In our final arraignment, the Scripture declares that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How will you plead when you stand before the judge? Will you say, "I've been a good person. I've kept God's law best I can. I was kind to animals." Those who plead in this way believe that Jesus died for nothing. What lies ahead of them is rightly described as a tragedy. God provided them what they need to stand before the judge, the righteousness that they need in His Son, but they despise it in favor of their own filthy rags, their own goodness. How do you plead? Like the tax collector, who wouldn't even raise his eyes up to heaven but said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? How do you plead? "I'm with Jesus. His life is my righteousness. His death, my deliverance." Those who plead in this way have despaired of themselves and have placed all their hopes in Christ. And though they are considered as fools and worse, to them the judge will say, "Not guilty." And then, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Because Jesus didn't live for nothing. He lived for you, so that His perfect obedience might be credited to your account by faith, and you might see the glory of heaven. And Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for you, laden with your sins, to free you from them and from the law's accusations. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. May God continue to bless us through His word, so that we do not set aside or despise His undeserved love in favor of our goodness, but instead cling to His living and His dying, that we might be justified by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and who gave Himself for us. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, until life everlasting. Amen.